Welcome to the AI Business Podcast, where we feature conversations with interesting guests at the intersection of artificial intelligence and business.
Hi, I'm Deborah Yao, the editor of AI Business, and I'm very pleased to welcome Rahul Oradkar. He is the Executive Vice President and General Manager of Unified Data Services and Einstein at Salesforce. Welcome, Rahul.
Thanks, Deborah. Delighted to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to you and your audience.
So can you tell us a little bit of what you do at Salesforce? A big organization.
Sure. As you said, Deborah, my title is EVP and GM for Unified Data Services and Einstein. In that role, I'm responsible for Data Cloud. You might have heard about Data Cloud, one of our fastest growing organic innovations in the history of the company. It delivers on our customer C360 vision with AI, data, CRM, and trust. And the second thing I'm responsible for, Einstein, our AI platform. And for the about two that I referred to, my charter is about, includes the build out and growth of the product by partnering with my engineering counterparts, and business growth by partnering with sales, marketing, customer success, etc.
So let's sketch the context a little bit for our listeners. And let's back up. And at a high level, can you share what Einstein's investments and partnerships in AI have been, and particularly generative AI?
Yeah, sure, Deborah. As you know, we have talked in the in public as well as in our Dreamforce event recently that our approach of AI plus data plus CRM, which is a virtual circle, and one feeds the other, if you may, a continuous circle which feeds the other. All of this is grounded in trust in order for us to deliver the customer 360 vision, which we have laid out over the last several years. We are the number one AI CRM, CRM for a long time, and now we've become the number one AI CRM company. To that end, what we've been doing as a company is building on our successful predictive AI investments using Einstein. And we've been the first to introduce Gen AI-driven CRM products to the market. So if you break it down from an investment standpoint, if you look at what our IT leaders are telling us, more than 80% of our based on survey are telling us that generative AI will be a prominent role, will play a prominent role in their organizations in the near future. If you think about AI itself, the AI revolution, the Gen AI revolution is a data revolution. A company's AI is only as good as its data strategy. To that end, we have been investing heavily on Data Cloud. I referred to that earlier, providing a single view of customers, and it powers Einstein and also our generative AI and predictive AI. And second broad area of investment we have is on trust. AI revolution is also a trust revolution. We'll talk a bit more about how deep we go into trust. It's essentially our foundation in which we deliver AI, generative AI, predictive and generative AI for our customers. We're also innovating heavily on across all what we refer to as clouds, our CRM applications, and whether it is on the sales or service, et cetera, predictive in line of work predictive AI, or whether it's generative AI as it relates to responses and recommended responses, conversational AI, et cetera. Exciting new set of products that we've been introducing. We introduced a few at Dreamforce over the last few months.
So why AI in CRM? What problem are you solving?
This is a customer revolution. So as an example, AI transforms the way customers interact with brands, the way we innovate. Let's take an example of PenFed. PenFed recently invested in Salesforce's Einstein generative AI capabilities, which it plans to use as an assistant, provides responses to chats or member questions, beginning with internal employees and then expanding it out to all its members. That's a good example of the fact that Gen AI is probably once in a lifetime, once in a generation type of innovation that technology just come our way. And we're utilizing it effectively for making our customer companies, which has been our watchword for a long time. And we do that more effectively now with AI, whether it is generating responses and other, whether it is creating chat responses, et cetera, all of those. We're doing that in a trusted way. We're doing it in a manner in which it provides outsized value for our customers so they can deliver delightful experience across the customer C360 to their customers. And we're seeing some outstanding results with respect to productivity and efficiency and value creation using generative AI.
So earlier you mentioned that AI plus data plus CRM is something that Salesforce is really excited about. And you also mentioned the Data Cloud. So Tell me more about that, and what does that mean to an enterprise customer?
So if you think about, I mentioned earlier that a company's AI strategy only is as good as its data strategy. So the idea there is companies really need to be able to leverage all of the data, whether it's transactional data or whether it's engagement data coming from all streams. First party data, essentially the richness of those data to understand their customers better. And Data Cloud is a product that we introduced a few years back. Like I indicated earlier, it is the fastest growing organic innovation in the history of our company. It lets companies connect their data, bring it to life through a variety of different means, whether it's through ingestion, through federation, through transformation, harmonization, unification, and from there you can drive the insight, whether it is BI insights or AI insights, and using that then you power Einstein, which is our AI platform, from where we can realize value for every action that is powered by every piece of relevant data. And today, just to give you a sense of proportion, Data Cloud is already processing about 2 trillion rows of data per month, and it delivers hundreds of billions of activations per month. And all of that is being used in line with our AI platform to deliver AI-driven predictions, AI-driven generations, if you may, from a generative AI standpoint. So it's a foundation for everything that we do for our customer C360, as well as what's a foundation for what our customers would use for driving predictive and generative AI insights for their downstream customers.
So tell me about your generative AI efforts. I know you have Einstein Copilot and the Einstein AI platform. What is your purpose and goal for developing these?
As I indicated earlier, the purpose and goal really starts fundamentally with our customers' need for productivity and the ability for our customers to use their data, the speed at which they use their data through AI to deliver CRM and downstream value for our customers from a predictive and generative standpoint. The goal really is driven from the fact that our customers really are looking for, in a very trusted way, to deliver predictions and generation of experiences downstream with the customers for personalizing at scale. Personalization at a very large, massive scale, and doing it in a very trusted manner. So that has been the goal. And given the more than 80% of our customers really ask for, are indicating that they are going to be using generative AI in some shape or form to deliver value to their customers downstream. And only about 30% are really even getting started right now for various different reasons, including trust being one of the problems and the fast moving pace at which this technology is moving. And our goal is to make it easier for our customers to use generative AI to deliver those productive benefits that I'm referring to. And we deliver it through a combination of Data Cloud, our trusted Einstein platform, as also the use cases through our clouds.
Just following up on that, how do you address, you mentioned some customers are hesitant a little bit about using generative AI because there are some very well-known risks associated with that. How do you address that?
So first off, let's take a look at the biggest challenges you're seeing when it comes to AI's adoption. First, the industry is moving very fast, especially with the emergence of Gen AI. And also, there's a significant lack of knowledge and also trust in the industry. We, on the other hand, Salesforce has been a provider since 2014, AI provider with predictive AI. And today, we deliver more than a trillion predictions in line of work for our customers per week. And our research shows that I indicated earlier that 85% of IT leaders believe generative AI will have a prominent role to play at their organizations in the immediate future. But at the same time, over 60% of the people who want to use generative AI use generative AI more. They're more concerned about the safety, security, and trust. And this is where we are differentiated. Salesforce AI is grounded in trust, and we, as part of our being a number one AI CRM. And as a company, our core values is trust, customer success, innovation, sustainability, and equality. All of that grounds our AI strategy. The Einstein layer that we have built has been deeply integrated into our architecture. Essentially, our customers can trust to keep their customers' data safe. And also, secondly, in addition to trust, also ethical use. So Salesforce has taken a leadership role in ethical use of our products and services. With that, we keeping ethics and ethical use of, in fact, we have an office of ethical use of AI to drive our AI innovation with trusted guidelines and trusted capabilities that protect not just our customers, but also their customers' data as well.
Can you be more specific about how you safeguard against these generative AI risks? Like, example, use encryption. What things you put in place?
Let's talk about Einstein's trust layer, right? The secure AI architecture. It's natively built into Salesforce platform. It's designed for enterprise security standards. Trust layer lets teams tap into generative AI without compromising our customer data. And the trust layer essentially has a few things. First, it grounds and enriches generative prompts through integration into Salesforce Data Cloud. And within Data Cloud, we have all sorts of protections for masking and et cetera. So we have data masking, all of those capabilities within Data Cloud. We have also audit trails. So the audit trails allow us to have compliance, make the platform compliance ready, provides visibility and control on how data is being used, and also has the ability for our customers and also auditors to take a look at how data is getting used for their AI. It also really, we have agreements with LLMs for what we refer to as zero retention. That means that the LLM providers are not retaining any data to train their models using our customers' data. And now the next thing is also toxicity as well. When it comes to generative AI and LLMs, there's a fear of toxicity. And that really can hurt some brands, and can hurt brands with respect to responses that generative AI is providing. So we have toxicity detection, the ability for us to mute toxic responses from generative AI. And also we are doing masking, for example, with PII, personally identifying information. We don't send that out to LLMs. We don't send it out to external LLMs that are generating the responses. Those are all some of the areas that we have deeply integrated into the platform, deeply integrated into Data Cloud, as well as our AI platform for using Einstein.
So how can you succeed in addressing these generative AI risks when OpenAI is still struggling with that or still trying to figure it out?
So a few things. One is we have started with very simple use cases that are grounded with data. And like I said, all of the other things that we've introduced as trust, security, and safety. In addition to that, we also have the zero retention policy that we have agreed to with OpenAI. We don't let OpenAI use any of our customers' data for any form of tuning. And in addition to that, we are really grounded in very narrow customer CRM-related use cases. And to that end, we provide a spectrum of offerings here. One from no code in that the responses really show up in line of work, low code that allows you to configure the responses that come in, and pro code that allows our customers to actually build their own models and bring it into the mix. In that whole spectrum, all of that is grounded with what I earlier indicated from a trust standpoint, but we are really honing in from a generative AI standpoint with respect to what we know really well, which is CRM use cases. And we also, with our agreements we have with OpenAI, that allows us to then significantly reduce the risks associated with safety, trust, et cetera, for our customers.
So talk to me about your large language model, Einstein GPT. Why did you feel the need to do that? Is that because you wanted it specifically for CRM?
Yeah, Einstein GPT is our brand through which we offer generative AI capabilities for our customers. Within that, we provide flexibility. The flexibility that we provide is our customers to use large language models of their choice. You refer to OpenAI, that's an example. We have a massive amount of investment for many years that we have been putting into our own research, AI research. And part of that research is creating models, generative AI models. We are honed in on very specific use cases within that, in areas in which there is a flexible need for our customers to use our models. And we're using our models in the very, very narrow use cases. But we also provide our customers the ability to, or the flexibility to use OpenAI type models as well.
So what are some of the biggest challenges that you're seeing from customers when it comes to AI deployment? Proof of concept is one thing, but to actually get all the way to production may be difficult.
As I indicated earlier, a few things. One is the area is moving very fast when it comes to Gen AI. Second is trust. I've talked quite a bit about trust. The place where we are seeing rapid adoption, at the same time we are seeing a good set of what you refer to as pilots moving into production. I use PenFed as an example. We have a methodology through which we get our customers to deploy. We get a methodology by which we get our customers to adopt and deliver value, and that's been a tried and trusted methodology. In this particular case, in GenAI's case, we're delivering using the same methodology in that we start narrow with use cases. Start with pilots, and from pilots we take it through to production. And we are going through that whole motion with generative AI as well. And our customers really are talking about a few things when it comes, when they're going through that cycle. One of them is speed of innovation and just the learning that goes with it. And then the second one is security and safety, et cetera. The third one is essentially how and where to apply it for, what use cases do they apply it for and where do they use it for? And we are driving quite a bit of education, enablement, et cetera, that goes with it. So it's a combination of what we see as challenges and also to Salesforce as a trusted provider coming in to help address those challenges.
I don't think I asked you about Einstein Copilot yet. Can you talk more about Einstein Copilot and how it enables everyone to kind of be a data scientist?
Einstein Copilot, so we announced Einstein Copilot at Dreamforce. It's a conversational assistant for Salesforce applications in a sense. It is baked into the flow of work. And this is what I was talking about, the idea that you have the ability to have no-code type AI within the flow of work. Einstein Copilot is an example of that. It can be used in a variety of different means. It can be used across consumer channels for embedding AI assistance into websites to power chat, messaging platforms like Slack, WhatsApp, SMS, etc. The Copilot allows you to interact in a natural language, which then uses AI to generate trusted and accurate recommendations, guidance, and content as well that goes with it. It's not just about drafting emails. Sure, Copilot can do that, but it also can do a variety of different things in addition to that, which is responses that can be automated. It can be augmenting somebody's responses. So Copilot is very exciting. It's an exciting piece of technology that we have built, and we announced it at Dreamforce. We'll be piloting and we'll be releasing it in early next year. It also uses all of our customers' data in a very trusted manner using Data Cloud as well as our core platform, that Salesforce platform. We're excited about it. It's going to be ready in the first quarter of next year.
So it'll be kind of like an AI assistant, and you pose natural questions in natural language to get the answers you need to find the data that you need.
That's correct. Yeah, it is a natural language ways of interacting with your CRM system that allows you to not just automate tasks but also augment complex tasks.
So can you give us a sense of the reception so far from the announcements made at Dreamforce and with the reaction from your clients?
It's just been outsized. You might have seen the coverage at Dreamforce, and subsequently, we are just being inundated by our customers because there's a hunger out there for our customers. Like 8 in 10 customers are telling us that they want to use a generative AI to deliver some level of value to the downstream customers. And as being the number one CRM company in the world and now a number one AI CRM company, we get requests on an ongoing basis, whether it is existing customers or new customers. And we are being very thoughtful. We are being very deliberate about what we, even though we are innovating really fast, we are shipping every few weeks. We're being very thoughtful and deliberate as we take our customers through this journey. But the reception has just been outsized. It's not just the customers, but also analysts and press. The reception has been completely well beyond our imagination of positivity.
So what's next for Einstein?
What's next for Einstein? There's a lot happening here in this space, and there's a significant amount of excitement that we have. For example, what we look at is personalization. I refer to personalized CRM at massive scale, seamless and autonomous ways in which we deliver CRM. Over a period of time, the notion of autonomous CRM is upon us as time goes by. There is also one more really industry-defining thing that we have done is our partnerships on data and AI with the industry, and we believe that is industry-defining. And it really excites me in that it is a new world of, in this new world of data plus AI, barriers between companies delivering value to customers will be lifted, with each doing what they do best. But it is seamless for the betterment of a customer value. We have done significant amount of partnerships with the Googles of the world, the Amazons, and the Databricks, Snowflakes, etc. All of these big companies that are doing data and AI, we have done all these partnerships to deliver seamless experience for our customers. And over time, I see that seamless experience really delivering the value of autonomous CRM for our customers. So it's really an exciting, brave new world that we are entering.
Can you give me an example in more detail about how this autonomous CRM would work?
Yeah, you can think about an autonomous CRM as being, you have a customer who's touching you, and you're through multiple different touch points, multiple different channels, and it is seamless to the customer in terms of responses the customer gets, whether it's outside the funnel when companies are touching that customer through marketing, where you have personalized, branded video and multimodal type interactions with the customer. So there is not is a most efficient way in which you touch the customer as you're marketing. Once you're done with it, when it turns into a lead from a sales standpoint, all of that is personalized inside of the system. And it sounds very, very unobstructive, but at the same time, there are sales leads coming in and the interaction between the salesperson and the lead happening automatically through either different modalities, whether it's video, audio, or different modes in which it's with cell phone or browser-based interaction. And the buying experience through commerce, et cetera, also gets automated to the point where now you know personalized, and the system knows quite well about what you're really trying to buy. And it does predictions along the way. And also those predictions are highly personalized. And subsequently, once you're part of the company's customer base, then all of the interactions that you have with respect to service are also automated, whether it is case deflection when you're having an issue or whether it is related to an automated response or a recommended response for an agent to interact with you in a very personalized way, or automating a task, for example, billing task, or whether it is a refund task, or whether it's a return task. And then subsequently, when you are targeted, also the targeting happens based on what history you have of customer defects and customer issues you have. So that way it doesn't come across as that you have a product, you're having a bad experience, and you're getting marketed to again. That's not going to happen in the world of autonomous CRM. That is the whole promise of Customer 360. We see that world that we've been talking about for the longest time just getting accelerated. We thought it would take years to do it. Now we're really getting there accelerated very fast with data cloud and AI driving CRM.
How autonomous is CRM today, and how much more will it be once all of these generative AI features are rolled out on your platform?
From an automation standpoint, the way you should look at automation right now is there's a significant amount of innovation that has happened from the early days in which we were using forms on data to drive CRM, whether it is sales, or service, et cetera. The way the innovation has really progressed is more automation about humans interacting with systems, which in turn is being used for CRM. Over time, the human interaction is getting driven by data, meaning the inversion of the pyramid has happened in that the use cases were driving data and data was driving AI. Now, if you start looking at it, data and AI will be driving the use cases, which means even the use cases, even the way in which customers have to interact with their downstream customers, our processes are going to get defined by data and AI. So we are in that world. Now, what we're going entering into the world is those use cases, the interactivity also gets autonomous. So how autonomous is it right now? We are in the world in which forms and data has been completely automated. We are in the world in which we're driving C360, customer 360 type interactions, where there is seamless experiences across all channels and touch points. And you could imagine a world in which the interactions of a customer service agents into the system is getting replaced by autonomous means, whereas customer service agents now are looking at other forms in which they're delighting their customers. That form of autonomous CRM is upon us. It's probably a few years away.
So, for example, what type of thing currently being undertaken by humans still, even with the AI you already have on the platform, that when it becomes autonomous CRM will be relegated to maybe a bot?
An example would be, I am a D2C, direct to consumer customer, where I have interacting with, you pick a D2C company of your choice. And I am traveling and I have a change in the way you're delivering meals to me, or you're delivering something as part of a D2C type customer scenario. And earlier I would have had to interact through a system. I'd have had to interact through an agent to change my delivery schedules. Now the system knows through my calendar what my travel schedule is, and it adjusts automatically, saying that I'm not in Seattle today, but I'm in Denver tomorrow. Maybe my meals get delivered in Denver. Maybe my preferences are not related. My preferences have changed based on where I'm sitting in Denver. It cancels everything, but that cancellation could lead to some sort of a credit. That credit also is automatically switched into credited into my account, or I might even get a coupon to the fact that I'm not ordering meals for one week. So that whole system can automate it. I don't need to interact with the fact that I have to go to a website, log in, or send a text message, or have some sort of a call. All of that is obviated now, in that it knows through my calendar what where my travel schedule is, and also knows. And of course, I've provided the relevant permissions, relevant test trust to use my calendar information, et cetera, and also my preferences. Based on my preferences, it's changing things. So I'm more concerned about my travel from Seattle to Denver to do my job rather than worrying about what my next meal delivery would be based on the D2C type scenario. That's an example of where things can change pretty dramatically, all for good for the company as well as for the customer.
In that vein, can you tell us what are some AI trends that most excite you coming up in maybe the near future, maybe 1 to 3 years?
One thing that most excites me about is there's a lot of talk about how AI could be disruptive. I think it's one of the most constructive things that's going to happen in our industry when it comes to CRM. Providing relevant experiences personalized through multiple different channels, multiple different touch points, and providing loyalty, providing the way in which you have seamless experiences. I think all of the things that we've been talking about for a long time now get accelerated in a very fast time frame. So that's one thing I feel is goodness for the companies that are going to use AI and goodness for the customers they interact with. I don't think it has some level of disruption, but the disruption is far, the amount of value we are creating is so much higher than the disruption. So I'm highly optimistic about what AI can do generally, but more importantly, highly optimistic for what it can do for CRM. That's one. The second one is all the companies that I referred to earlier, I referred to them by name, Google, Amazon, et cetera, all of those. They were distant and far away from, example, Salesforce. Now they're all coming together for the betterment of the customer, the value we create. Like I said, they live within their own silos and do the best things they can do. But for the when it comes to data and AI, the boundaries and the seams around which they interact with, these companies interact with data, AI to deliver value to customers are getting erased. Those seams are getting erased. And that's the most exciting thing if you think about it. Technology, we talked about standards of technology, the watermark of standards is going up every day. This is dramatically shifted to the point where now data sitting in Google, for example, today can seamlessly show up in through our innovation that we have done with Bring Your Own Lake into Salesforce. And that can be the what we refer to as cross joins, the ability to have one BigQuery data joining with Salesforce data, which in turn is joining with Google data, Ads Hub data, all of that bringing value to our customers, those seams are going to go away. And to me, that's most exciting because for the longest time, we've been talking about companies working together to deliver value to customers. This is getting accelerated at a pace at which we have never seen before.
Wonderful. So we'll leave it at that. Thank you so much, Raul, for joining us today.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Deborah. Thanks for the opportunity.
To get more AI news and insights, visit our website at aibusiness.com. Until next time, thank you for listening.